360's The Week That Was, the most listened to hour in Territory Radio. The Territory leaders break down this week's big issues.
Well, and The Week That Was is proudly brought to you by BTC Constructions. From residential, commercial to project management, they cover all aspects of construction. And we're coming to you live this morning from just outside Coles in the Mitchell Centre for a very good cause. It is for Food Bank, because the festive season's nearly here. And while we're all thinking about presents and parties, some families in our community are going without this Christmas. So Power and Water is partnering up with Food Bank NT to help make a difference with a Christmas hamper food drive. But of course, it is Friday morning, and joining me down here at our outside broadcast, we have got the member for Sanderson, Kate Warden. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Katie. And nice to see you again.
Good to see you. We have also got Robin Lamley, the independent member for Araloo. And how are you, Robin?
Great, thanks, Katie. Always good to be here.
Good to have you this morning. We've got Maddie Hepworth, our news director. How are you, Maddie?
Morning, Katie. Happy
thanks
Friday.
For filling in for me yesterday as well, mate.
Always good to see you back.
Yeah, back in fighting form, as I'm always on, as you'd expect. And Leah Finocchiaro, the deputy opposition leader and member for Spillett. How are you, Leah?
I'm very well, thank you. Good morning.
And Maddie, thanks for balancing us out this morning, the panel of women. Good, okay. Strong women.
I think that
look
was the
out.
Only reason I was here is the token male, but I'm happy to take it.
I don't appreciate the mo, though. It's scaring me a little bit.
He's got a very bad moustache at the moment.
Pale skin and dark facial hair makes for a very interesting mo.
He looks like
face for radio, they
Luigi
say.
From Super Mario. Yeah.
Look, we're expecting a lot from Matt today.
We are expecting a lot.
I've just come to clean the pool. I don't actually know. With a radio show on.
You're an idiot. A funny one. Let's get straight into it. I tell you what, yesterday afternoon, a bit of a bombshell. Ken Vowles, he sure knows how to throw a cat amongst the pigeons, announcing his retirement from Parliament. So basically in Parliament yesterday, he did thank his family, he thanked his friends, his electorate. Not a huge amount of love lost between he and the Chief Minister, Michael Gunner. What will follow now, I think, is going to be interesting, because it will mean that we've got to have a by-election, from my understanding. So it's certainly going to be an interesting, well, I've been saying it for a while, an interesting 9 months, but now it's set to get even sort of crazier.
Yeah, it certainly changes the dynamic. We're very sad to see Ken go. He's made a long-standing contribution to his community and, of course, is the victim of a Gunner Labor government that wants to silence critics. I mean, the fact that what happened to him and Scott McConnell and Jeff Collins last year over the fiscal crisis is an absolute disgrace. They raised issues that Territorians are clearly concerned about, and that's the state of the books and the state of the economy. And they were silenced because of that. And now we've seen Ken resign, and there'll be a by-election next year. So it just shows Natasha Files this morning, the chaos and dysfunction that's going on in the Labor ranks.
Kate, can you have a differing opinion to the leader within the Labor Party?
Absolutely, you can have a different opinion. And in fact, some weeks ago, I came on to this show and I expressed an opinion, and I had a number of people come up to me afterwards and amongst the media and say, oh, you must have been kicked for your opinions on Katie. Absolutely not, I was not. And in fact, I had quite a number of people contact me from the fifth floor and say, good on you. You know, and people keep putting me back here, Katie. I come here and I chat openly with you. I do want to put on the record today a big thanks to Ken. I just saw Ken in the car park, actually, yep, on my way down here, and we had a bit of a chat. You know, those relationships are not quite as broken as everybody wants to make out. I think that there's been a lot of political mileage made around that. That's not necessarily there. So those communication is a two-way thing. I certainly get ample opportunity to advocate for the people of Sanderson what's not just caucus. And I wanted to just take a second, if I could, and just to explain to people. I think we use the word caucus, and even my kids have said, what the heck is caucus? Caucus is just where we gather as a team and we chew the fat and talk about things before Parliament, generally in the lead up to Parliament. We have some planning around that as well. You know, there's lots and lots of ways to advocate for the people in your electorate. I certainly have lots of meetings with staffers. I get to meet with department heads. I get to advocate and talk very, very loudly in any meeting that we might have. I'll walk in a minister's office, make appointments, and do my bit. if I have an alternate opinion, I'm definitely heard, and sometimes I'm able to get a change.
I do want to say, though, Ken did say in his speech overnight, there is no mistake that proper caucus processes were not followed. Now, this is obviously relating to his ousting. He goes on to say it clearly states that in the caucus rules, my former colleagues put their own careers at risk with their willful blindness when procedures are not followed. We're all inducted under variations of mantras that one person is not bigger than the party. That sentiment has been used throughout the Labor history to tap former leaders on the shoulder. But that message has fallen on the wayside, replaced by disunity is death. In territory politics, this translates to obey me or else.
And I would disagree, Katie. Completely and utterly disagree.
Ken is due to come on to the show just after 10 o'clock this morning, but what I do want to certainly want to touch on as well is that he has told the Northern Territory News that really, if Chief Minister Michael Gunner stays in the place that he's in at the moment, if he remains the leader, that it is going to have serious ramifications for the rest of you at the next election.
And that entirely is Ken's opinion. And, you know, those things, I think that the one thing that happens at elections is that people get it right, and every single one of us is arrogant to think that any one of us is bigger than the election. As we all know, it's a seat-by-seat proposition, and people will vote us in according to the hard work that we do in our electorates. That's the reality of elections. And yeah, Ken's had a lot of commentary around that. He's been around politics, and as again I said, I do take a big thank you to Ken. I've known Ken way before his political career. He's a decent human being. He deserves some respect. He deserves all of our respect. And I actually really wish him all the best in the next chapter of his life. And Katie, I will just caution people here. At some point, every single one of us will pull the pin on this political. This is a job for us, and we will all have to walk away from this job at some time, and we should all be respectful of the fact that that will happen to us all. So I think that's the caution for today.
You know, I think what Ken has done and what he did, you know, 12 months ago, I know that certainly the Chief Minister was concerned, and the Chief Minister had said on the show that he was unhappy with Ken really doing an interview with me, and three times he didn't back him as the leader and didn't say that he had the Chief Minister's confidence. But what seems, or from an observer looking in, what seems as though it's happened then over the last 12 months is there has been some members of Labor who've been supportive of Ken, or certainly, you know, behind the scenes still being good friends to him, but that he has been shut out by the Chief Minister. And the fact that now we're going to be heading into a by-election by the look of things, a few months ahead of the actual general election on August 22nd, I think it's quite unbelievable to be in this situation, many would argue.
That's certainly not my observation. Michael is a very inclusive person, but what I will say absolutely has
really?
100%. I'm part of Michael's team.
He chucked three of them out 12 months ago, and there he is.
I can tell you that the team of 15 are completely unified and behind, 100% behind Michael as our leader. And I think people look back over the last 12 months, we provide a lot of stability, and we have a vision for the territory, we have plans for the territory, and we're just working away on in implementing those plans. And the implementation, you know, we can all talk about plans, but actually implementing is where the hard work happens, and that's what's happening, and that's under Michael's leadership. And you know, I will say categorically today on the record that Michael has my 100% unconditional support.
Well,
as
I think
our leader.
I think that's kind of what Ken's saying, though, is he's got everybody's support, but maybe he shouldn't have.
Well, they're decisions that we would make on a day-to-day proposition. I mean, you know, the territory is at the moment in unprecedented tough times, and that takes a quality of leadership that we are seeing, and I will not back away from that.
Well, I think Kenny Vowles was done over like a dinner, as was Scott McConnell and Jeff Collins. You couldn't put it any more clearly than that. Kenny was a real threat to the leadership of Michael Gunner. Kenny is a charismatic man with great presence. He is a true leader, and Michael's not. He might be a nice guy, but he doesn't have what Kenny's got. And I think it was just a case of too many bulls in the ring, and Michael had to get rid of the three bulls that were causing him the most trouble. On top of that, the Labor government centre's broke within a couple of months of coming to government. These guys called it for what it was. the treasurer, the hopeless treasurer, lovely lady too, and the chief minister couldn't bear to hear the truth, so they got shafted. Now, I have a lot of respect for Kenny, what he did last night, stepping down. It's causing a by-election, but I also think a by-election at this point is actually a really good thing.
Bit of a litmus test.
It is a litmus test. It's going to put us all on notice, every single politician or aspiring politician in the Northern Territory, to really think about what they're on about and what they stand for and how any future government's going to function. This government's been an absolute flop, despite what Kate's just said. They're hanging together by a thread. This is Groundhog Day. It's exactly what the CLP did a couple of years ago. I really don't know who people are going to vote for in August next year, but I seriously wouldn't contemplate voting for either the CLP or the current government, because they both have been slack. The state of the parliament at the moment is an absolute disgrace.
Now, my advice is that that while Ken has obviously announced his intention to resign or retire, but until the Speaker receives a letter of resignation, he isn't actually resigned. Once that letter's received, obviously it is then sent to the government and the administrator, and then the administrator, well, the writs are issued and a by-election is called. So that process, I would assume, sort of starts to happen today. Leah, are you guys just sitting back? Is the CLP and the independents just sitting back and thinking to themselves, well, don't get rid of Gunner, keep him exactly where he is because it's making us look good?
Look, we don't really, you know, care who's at the top of the leadership of this Labor government. What we really care about is ensuring that our economy turns around, that crime gets under control, and that our budget gets back under control. What we've seen is this government, in 3.5 years, absolutely destroy our budget, limit our ability to invest in wealth-generating projects. They've been unable to turn our economy around. And, of course, we all know the stories and the issues people are experiencing when it comes to crime. I don't think any of the current Labor team could sit at the top and be the Chief Minister and change any of that, because they are devoid of innovation, devoid of ideas. They've absolutely blown this precious opportunity to drive change and future for Territorians, to ensure we have prosperity for our kids and their children. They've absolutely blown it, and it's a great shame what's happened to Ken. The exile of those three members, it was a disgrace.
I think it highlights the ugly side of politics, and we've all had personal dealings with Ken and Michael, and in my personal dealings with them, they've always been really nice people. But with inside the political arena, obviously when there's a lot of power and pride and ego involved in these situations, it very easily turns messy. And I mean, Leah and Robin, you've seen that within the CLP as well, is that they've been in a similar situation before, where you're on the same team, and I think it's the Liberal Party like to use the expression, we're a broad church, and it makes it quite messy when you're a broad church, but you're all sitting inside the one group together with differing opinions of how to make the Territory or Australia, whatever it might be, a different place. And so when you put all these nice people together with conflicting ideas, it's going to get messy, and this is what it has come to today.
But then you've also got to throw into that, into the mix, self-interest, and and unfortunately there is sometimes in politics. You know, I guess we all like to think that people enter politics for the right reasons, and they enter politics to represent their community, but there is an element of self-interest there, and there always will be.
360's The Week That Was for BTC Constructions.
But it is Friday morning, it is The Week That Was, and with us this morning we've got Leah Fanocchiaro, Matt Hepworth, Robin Lamley and Kate Warden. Now, it's been a massive week. It always is when Parliament sits. But the mid-year economic fiscal outlook, well, it's come out, and the Territory's net debt is looking like it's going to blow out to more than $8.3 billion within 4 years. That's according to this to the outlook. It's almost $300 million more than predicted at the May budget. The Treasurer, Nicole Manison, pointed to the government's $400 million investment in the Darwin ship lift, as well as the falling GST revenue for the worsening budget position. Leah, I know that the opposition's been very critical in this space and actually said, you know, is it time for the Treasurer to call it what you guys think it is, a recession?
Well, we are absolutely shocked by the mid-year report that came out this week, and yet in the same breath, not surprised. We were really hoping things would have turned around and that the government would actually be implementing its Langoland report recommendations, that it would actually be doing what it needs to bring our budget back into repair and stimulate our economy. Instead, what we saw in this six-month period, that the government has spent $106 million more than what it budgeted just 6 months into that budget period. I mean, that's $17.6 million more every month it is spending than what it thought it would spend.
My biggest concern whenever we talk about the budget and the ongoing budget is I understand that we need to be delivering services. There's no doubt about that. But our population continues to is declining, but our public service continues to grow. And I am of the understanding that your public servants are there to serve your population. So I just don't really understand why it continues to grow when the population is in decline.
Well, Katie, I can probably offer some commentary on both of those things. In fact, the staffing cap is trending down. So it went from, I've got some figures of 21,760 in the June quarter, is now down to 21,547. And it is showing that trend down, but it also, that revised cap is now, and we're on target to meet that in March 2020, next year, of 21,395. So that's happened. But there has to have, the only increases we've seen in any of our agencies, where some agencies have obviously reduced their staffing numbers, we've had to see some increases in frontline services. And I think everybody out there would agree that you need to make sure you've got enough police. We did have a commitment around pallies being on bottle shops and the Palmerston Hospital staff. So those numbers have, I would say, have now reached the numbers that they're going to be going forward. But we are on track. I can assure people that we have, despite what the opposition says, and I will couch that by saying nicely on a Friday, that's what we expect for the opposition to say, and that's fine. They can say that. But what I'll say is we are on track around staffing numbers, and we are reducing that. The other thing is
the position is appalling, Kate. How can you spin it any other way?
I just gave you figures.
We heard the government last night, yesterday in Parliament, trying to tell us that the position of the fiscal situation in the territory had improved. How can you spin it like that?
Well, it was
beyond an absolute joke trying to spin it in that way. It could never get any better than what it is at the moment. Part of the Langerland report was to implement a debt ceiling. I gave notice yesterday in Parliament to present legislation in February or March to get that up and running, to implement a debt ceiling, which is a legislative mechanism to stop this hopeless government and any future governments from putting us in the position we're in at the moment. And that's something that the government should be putting in themselves to stop themselves. They have no restraint. They have operated in such a fiscally irresponsible fashion. They should be turfed out at the next election because of the position, the untenable position they've put us in. And we're not just hanging over the cliff, we're just about at the bottom.
Well, this is exactly
Kate,
what you'd expect around rhetoric around from
well,
opposition
it's the
and
truth,
independence.
Kate.
No, the
you
truth
can't
is
spin it any
the
other
truth
way.
Is that the GST has fallen right the way across Australia. We are now seeing, finally, the federal government starting to stump up and spend money because it realises that overall the Australian economy is falling. So there's that. We've also had to be responsible and reflect in the books. I think I've heard the Treasurer say repeatedly, not only in Parliament this week, but across every media outlet, that we have to be transparent and show that the shiplift is coming onto the books, because we're dead serious about the shiplift. That shiplift has
how
an
are you
enormous
then spending
impact
$17.6 million a month more than you budgeted for,
the bottom
Kate?
Line here How? Is, when we came to government,
you
we
had a $1.8 billion deficit, and now we have
$7.8 billion. That plan is coming around. It takes time, and those things
and
are
starting
to show shoots.
And where's the Treasurer today? Look, you know, she's just presented her mid-year report. She should be on the radio trying to explain to Territorians why we're deeper in debt.
Kate, do you think that we are in a recession?
Absolutely not. We are not.
Why?
And Professor Rolf
Gerritsen
said that as
well. Can you explain to us why?
No, I am not an economist, Katie, but I will take my lead from the experts, like people like Rolf Gerritsen, who said quite clearly yesterday we are not. And whilst we can sit around, we have got some major projects on the horizon, and we are looking forward because we had a vision, we had a plan, we implemented those plans, and they're now taking time.
Lipstick on a pig, Kate.
In the next 12 months, we will see That is just so rude.
Leah,
and I expect nothing less from you, Robin.
Why do you think, why does the opposition think we are in a recession? Because this seems to be very differing points here from the government and the opposition.
The government is all about nothing to see here. I mean, it's really an astonishing timeline. If you go back to December last year, 2 weeks before Christmas, they announced we were staring down the barrel of the $35.7 billion debt. And here we are nearly a year later. And what has changed? What has changed?
Enormous amount has changed.
Our position is very, very dire. Businesses are closing their doors every single day. Territorians are hurting. And it's just horrible. And you just have to go outside and talk to anyone and they will tell you how bad things are. You know, we've had our state final demand is down. Our GSP is down. Things are tough out there.
The only thing, I mean, at this point in time, which is really saving us, I would suspect, is our gas exports.
Absolutely. And we have a methanol plant coming on. They're the things I was going to talk, Katie, about this morning.
The
really,
tough
the positive
thing is,
things
though,
that are coming through.
The tough thing is at the moment, though, is our gas exports are obviously helping us to not appear as though we are in a situation where we're in a recession. Now, I'm very cautious to use that word because it's a very, very difficult path to go down. But I think that what we've got to kind of acknowledge as well is that a lot of Territorians feel as though they're not seeing the positive benefit of those exports. So while we're, you know, essentially we may not be in a situation where it's deemed a recession, there's a lot of people out there hurting at the moment. And I know that everybody's
absolutely,
aware
Katie.
Of that.
Nobody's
but they're really hurting.
That.
They're really hurting. You know, earlier this week, I am going to be really blunt with you all. I got off air on Monday and I had a bit of a cry because I spoke to a couple of businesses who were hit again by crime and they're already telling me how much they're struggling. And I just thought, shit, I'm feeling really upset for people.
That's right. Yeah. It's people are at breaking point and it is, I mean, I said earlier in the week, it's heartbreaking. It is absolutely heartbreaking. You know, people not only are suffering through the economic situation, you know, they're making really tough decisions within their family, within their business, you know, but then you add that overlay of crime and it is pushing. And that's why people are leaving, right? You hear the stories. It's like, we can't take this anymore. And it's heartbreaking because we all love this place. We all know the potential the Territory has, but the Gunner Labor government have no ability to realise that opportunity.
Katie, can I give you a backdrop? I think it's really important that people understand we can talk about 10,000 people that and down to 500 with the IMPEX project. What IMPEX did was 25% of our economy. Our turnover, that's gone. And there was no plan for that when we came to government.
There was a plan for that. This rhetoric around that there wasn't is rubbish. You put a 3-year... That is not the first time you've heard me say that, Kate. Yeah, what was our plan?
We had...
I'm sorry.
You don't talk about
them in Parliament.
We had an
onshore gas.
You just talk everything down.
Absolute rubbish. You know what you do? You only just talk. You talk absolute rubbish.
You just talk everything
down. Onshore gas was already in exploration phase. Go and speak to any of the operators out there. You guys came in with your 2-year moratorium, which blew out to 3 years, and now you've turned around and said, "Oh, we can safely
so
do onshore gas."
Well,
you know,
that's not what
I'm sorry. All of your projects, whether it's Shiplift or whether it's a luxury hotel, you name it, they're all our projects, Kate. And you still haven't got them out of the ground.
So.
Where are they?
But in the next 12 months, Katie, we will see the Porn Farm making final investment decisions and
CLP
five mines
project
in Central Australia. So there's lots of really good things coming. I will tell Territorians the one thing I've been thinking about this last week is, imagine with that downturn if we hadn't invested in the ways that we have into our economy. Imagine what the Territory would be like. And that's a really important thing we can talk all we like about. We can talk it all down and say things are tough. And they are tough. They're tough for everybody, Katie.
I want to make a really big point here, and that is I don't think anyone wants to talk the Territory down, but what I think people want at the moment is honesty. And what I think they're really calling for is leadership. And I think that this is where Michael Gunner is shooting himself in the foot at the moment. If you continue to talk about what the CLP didn't do and not focus on what you're going to do moving forward, people are no longer going to listen.
But that's what I was actually saying, Katie. You know, we do have those, and I'm not going to, the word plan is overused because you need a plan to start implementing, but we have been implementing that all the way along, and we will see the new methanol plant, we will build the ship lift, we do have the luxury hotel, the Porn Farm is an investment decision, there's 5 new mines out of Central Australia, and the Darwin LNG expansion. They're all really important parts of the economy. I call them shock absorbers in our economy going forward. So if we do get another big project at any time, you've got all those smaller industries to carry us forward, and gas is a big part of that.
I think what we've just seen quite evidently is that so much of this debate around the economy is political, with with the Labor saying CLP didn't prepare for this, and then the CLP saying the, you know, the Gunner Labor government aren't doing this. We are now 9 months out from an election, and regardless of who gets in next, I don't... And they said, we don't want to talk doom and gloom, but I don't know what the answer is. I mentioned in my interview with Gary yesterday that I said, if you do get in 9 months' time, you're going to be inheriting those books and those documents that we saw in those figures in the MyEFO earlier this week. You're going to be inheriting that as well. And at the moment, it's just blame game rather than policy from both sides, to be honest. And like I said, we just saw it then in a really intense political debate. And, you know, we've all said we're not economists. I don't know what the answer is. But you and I talk about this frequently, that political blame game is not the answer in this situation.
Yeah, I think people are getting a bit fed up with it. I think what I'm particularly hearing quite a lot is that they're getting really sick of the former government being blamed, because the government right now has been in for 3 years. And I think that we've gotten to the point where we need to see that real leadership, really forward thinking, how we're going to move forward, and we need somebody to really step up and do that.
360's The Week That Was for BTC Constructions.
You're listening to Mix 104.9's 360. It is the week that was, and we are brought to you by BTC Constructions. And we're coming to you live today from just outside Coles in the Mitchell Centre, because Power and Water is partnering with Food Bank NT to help make a difference with a Christmas hamper food drive. So come on down and you can make a donation. We'd love to see you. It's been a busy week. There's no doubt about it. It always is when Parliament sits. But I do want to go to this story, because it's one which we sort of touched on in the last talk break, and that is about gas. Now, I know that the Chief Minister, Michael Gunner, he's doubled down on his use of the words dirty and dangerous in relation to fracking in the face of fury from the country's biggest gas company. So it was reported in the paper that he's repeatedly referred to the country Liberals' dirty and dangerous plan for fracking in the Northern Territory. And I believe the CLP's plan for fracking is dirty and dangerous. Now, I think Matt Cunningham, our regular panellist, touched on this last weekend in a column that he wrote, and said you sort of can't have your cake and eat it too. You know, obviously Labor has approved fracking going ahead, so to then call it sort of dirty and dangerous, or the CLP's dirty and dangerous plan, I think it's a bit rich.
It shows how spectacularly incapable the Chief Minister is at being a leader. I mean, these comments really are pathetic. I know we're going into an election, but we don't need to scrape the bottom of the barrel here. You know, gas is an important industry to the Territory. The Labor government have finally, after 3 long years, realised that, but yet continue to threaten its existence. You know, gas companies need to be able to operate with a social licence. And when you have the head of state or the head of our territory making those kind of comments, it does no one any help.
Look, I'm going to give everybody a bit of advice. It's advice that I've given you all before. I'll get on my soapbox for a moment, and what I always say is, when somebody asks a question or when there is a discussion about something like fracking, don't think about your opposition when you answer it. Think about the whole community. And I think that what the Chief Minister's done by sending that press release out and continuing to call it a dirty and dangerous plan, having a crack at the CLP, I don't know that he's realised the ramifications of that, and the fact that it's gone broader than just having a crack at the CLP.
Exactly.
He's having a bet each way, Katie. That's how I see it. He's opened the door to fracking, and now he's thinking, gee whiz, I'm heading into an election. I have to appeal to the anti-frackers, so I have to dump on the CLP. It's not going to wash. People can see very clearly what's happened here. I feel very disappointed in this government. They said that they would ensure that the recommendations of the inquiry were implemented properly. I don't think those baseline assessments have been completed yet at the Beetaloo Basin, where I understand they're almost or are into production phase. I think the Chief Minister needs to give the public a little bit more credit. We know what's going on in this space, and we know that the politics is starting to mount, and we're going to hear this sort of spin all the time.
Kate, I guess the argument is, though, is if the current Gunner government hadn't gone through the Pepper inquiry, that a lot of Territorians may not have been happy for fracking to move forward the way that it was.
Absolutely, and I think this is the I think if you're looking at differences between, I mean, I'll just use this as a contrast, not a CLP, ALP thing. This is about contrast on policy. What we would have seen after the last election is the CLP would have gone and continued with their plans about allowing fracking unregulated and unrestricted.
Now that is exactly, you're following in the lead of your own leader. An unregulated onshore gas industry. She just said
be
that.
Respectful.
I mean, she just said that.
So,
what absolute rubbish. It's hysterical. It's not true. We always said on the record two minutes ago that we would have a well-regulated onshore gas industry.
Okay, so
that's what we had. You stopped it, and now you're playing politics with a very important industry for the future of jobs in the territory.
Absolutely, and we've always said that. But what we needed to do was do it in a way that Territorians felt comfortable with, and they didn't feel comfortable with just, you know, fracking unregulated and unrestricted.
Was there unrestricted, unregulated fracking?
Okay,
answer the question.
Just keep ranting.
Answer the question. Was there ever in the Northern Territory's history, which has had onshore gas for 40 years, ever unregulated?
Yeah. I still go on the opportunity, and people want to talk about fracking. They want to make sure that environmentally we are not destroying the future of our kids. What's really important, and it is the difference between us, we did have a moratorium. It's a matter of history. We put the moratorium in place so the Pepper Inquiry could be conducted. Now, they came back with, I don't know if anybody's read that report, but I actually handed them out like lollies afterwards. I encouraged the people in my electorate with concerns to look at that report and read it, and quite a number of them did. It surprised me. Very comprehensive, and it gave us a foundation, if you like, for fracking to occur as safely as possible in the Northern Territory. Now, that's what we did. We listened to Territorians expect us to listen to them. They did. They voiced their concerns and we listened. And we're going now, you know, forward with an industry that's got some... It's underpinned by a scientific inquiry. It is one of the most important things that Territorians, and I think people going into the election this year will again, you know, they'll be considering fracking. It's on everybody's lips, and it's really important that people know that the way that we went around it was important for our future.
Well, and I think really it's the only way, what you're trying to articulate is really the only way that you can try and get your argument out to Territorians that you're any different to the CLP, but whether people believe it or not, I think remains to be seen, because you guys have actually approved it.
We have, but we've done it under the guidance of a scientific evidence-based report.
So is the government anti-fracking or pro-fracking? That's the question that will be asked going into the election.
It's not a black and white issue,
Robin. Where do you stand? Don't muddy the waters. Are you pro-fracking or anti-fracking?
We clearly support a regulated, highly regulated industry in the Northern Territory. There we are, on record. We support a highly regulated gas industry here in the Northern Territory.
I wasn't here for the 2016 election, so you'll have to...
I knew you were going to struggle to get a word in this morning, Maddie.
I've jumped in now. But I understand, obviously, the Labor came into the 2016 election with this moratorium on fracking. Now, I don't know if you'd call that an anti-fracking stance, but it did seem to please those concerned in the community about the environmental effects of fracking, because my understanding was that the CLP already had some fracking in place. So they came in and said, we'll put a stop on it, put this report in, and then make a decision based on there as well. Now, and I think that was part of the confusion before as to, you know, whether the Labor government is pro or anti-fracking, because that moratorium was kind of in that middle ground. No one really knew, and so now it's highly regulated with the Pepper report.
Having their cake and eating it too, you recommend.
The moratorium was the sitting on the fence mode. It was the government's time to take a deep breath, not commit to anything, and now they have to commit, Kate, to a position, whether you like it or not. You can't have a bet each way on this one, I'm sorry.
Right. I think I was really clear. We support it in a highly regulated environment, and that will deliver on environmental safeguards, which is what Territorians and our kids
and
are really, really, really
interested in. And that doesn't change the fact that the rubbish the Chief Minister's peddling is not true.
You are listening to Mix 104.9's 360.
360's The Week That Was for BTC Construction.
We do like each other a bit more than it comes across on air some mornings. We're coming to you live, of course, from Coles in the Mitchell Centre, because Power and Water is partnering with Food Bank NT to help make a difference with the Christmas hamper food drive. But we do know there's a couple of issues that I'd like to cover off. We've only got about 6 minutes, so let's see how fast we can go. Now, firstly, I do want to talk about during the week, we know that the legalisation or the legislation passed for sex workers. The government's certainly saying that this is about keeping those sex workers safe and ensuring that if that is your chosen profession, that you are able to do so safely. I don't know, did it get very heated in Parliament discussing this? I didn't get the chance to tune in.
Well, it did. We divided on it. The opposition and the independents pretty much divided against the government. But look, you know, I don't think anyone begrudges sex workers for having the same rights as any other worker in the Northern Territory. That's a no-brainer. But it's the hypocrisy of the government that really just completely confounds me. In the Northern Territory now, you can buy sex easier than a carton of beer. And that's the point I made. It's decriminalised the whole sex industry. And on the other hand, you've got a system whereby you can't buy grog without a great deal of difficulty. So, you know, I can't see where this government's going in terms of social policy, really. It's just confusing.
We couldn't support the legislation on the basis that for whatever reason, the government took the planning component and the zoning component out of it. So Territorians have no confidence about where sex businesses are going to be, what they're going to be allowed to be near, how many people are going to be allowed to work in a commercial sex business. And also the fact, I mean, to use the liquor analogies, it's easier to be a commercial sex operator than it is to get a liquor license. And so we really think Territorians want that planning certainty around commercial sex businesses, and they failed to provide that.
I think I'm just going to pick up on the point that Robin made, that where are we going with our agenda? I think if people check out my Facebook page this week, I made a very clear statement about where I stand on this. I was the only female on the scrutiny committee for this piece of legislation, and I actually see this as a women's issue, and I spoke about that this week in Parliament. It's critically important, Katie, also that we listen to what the people around us are saying, and certainly in my electorate, when I got elected, quite a number of people raised with me the issue of massage parlours in the city, and front being realistically brothels, and also you know, the harm for women working in those places with generally often illegal immigrants with absolutely no protections whatsoever. And so we've been working on this. This is not a piece of legislation that sort of turned up yesterday, you know, just in this week in Parliament. There's been a lot of work. It's been going on for years, and there's two components of this, and I spoke very, very clearly. I would encourage Territorians, the planning scheme amendments, I want to be very clear, this is not changes to the Planning Act, so it won't come back to Parliament. It's out on display at the moment. They can check out my Facebook site for the link. There is a lot of work going on, and there's public consultations around the planning scheme about where legal brothels could be. That's really, really important. I do pick up on what Leah was saying. It is important that those changes are made so it's all, you know, it aligns with each other. And check out Hansard this week for my speech in Parliament, and I spoke, you know, a long time about this.
One of the other things I do want to touch on this morning is a decision made by Council earlier in the week. Now, they agreed to waiver al fresco dining fees for unlicensed premises. So we're talking about everybody in the municipality or any cafes or venues in the municipality. Those al fresco dining fees have been waived for some of them, for the unlicensed premises, but not for the licensed premises. Now, we spoke to Jason Hannah earlier in the week, a well-known Territorian, and he outlined his concerns with this. You know, he pointed out to where you'll see Salvatore's here in the city. They will still be subject to pay those al fresco dining fees, yet McDonald's next door, who are unlicensed, will not be subject to those al fresco dining fees. To me, it seems as though it's something that the council needs to look into further, because if you've got businesses who are saying, look, we're doing it tough at the moment, we need a bit of a hand.
Yeah, look, I think I don't know the reasons why the council decided to look at these two issues separately, you know, shops without a licence and shops with. It's something they need to look at as a whole or justify their position on, because we are in unprecedented times, and, you know, any support we can give to our small business to get through this, the better.
Leah just nailed it. You know, yep. That's exactly right. I mean, obviously, I spent quite a long time on council before I got elected to Northern Territory Government. I was asking questions. We were just having a chat amongst ourselves just before, Matt, weren't we? Mm. And, you know, where did this sort of come from? And if they asked the officers just for a report, let's say, on, what was it you were saying, Matt? Perhaps just was
cafes,
limited.
Yeah,
just limited to cafes. That's possibly where the decisions come from. But I would urge them. I mean, Jason Hannah's a great advocate for the industry locally, and I would urge them to relook at the issue. It's always possible.
Somebody's just come and given Kate Warden a...
It's one of my constituents, Mick. Hey, Mick, nice to see you this morning. He's putting that in the food bank.
Are you a sardines on toast kind of gal?
No. He's misread me altogether, but I'll put those in the food bank bin. He's just sharing the love this
we
Friday
We are
going
to have to get ready to wrap things up, but we are here for Food Bank. They do a phenomenal job here in the Northern Territory, and I think that each and every one of us on the panel would certainly agree with that. And at Christmas time, we quite often forget, you know, that while we're able to afford to go and put on a nice Christmas lunch or go and buy our kids presents and the like, that some people aren't in the best financial situation. So it is actually very important that we try to help each other out, I reckon.
And sharing that goodwill, you know, there's always a little something we can give, you know, and it's important that we all get to enjoy our Christmas. And if people can, whether it's a small gift, whether it's, you know, a tin of baked beans, all of that goes to making someone else's day brighter.
And whilst it might sound selfish, there's actually a science behind when you do, you know, give into these kind of causes that it makes you feel good about yourself as well. So not only are you helping someone else, but there is evidence to show that when we do this, these kind of activities, you feel good about it.
And get the kids involved. Like, how good is it as role modelling for our children?
I think also there was some research last, I just saw a couple of weeks ago that said, you know, the people that can least afford it are often the ones that give.
Yeah.
Because they know what it's like. And I think that the territory, Territorians are extraordinarily, is my experience, giving.
Yep.
And particularly around times like Christmas. So, keep it going, guys. Food Bank are a great cause.
Absolutely. Well, Kate Warden, the member for Sanderson, thanks so much for your time this morning.
No, it's
bit
been
of fire
pleasure.
This morning.
It's great fun, Katie.
Share.
Thank you for having me.
Robin Lamley, the independent member for
Katie, I'm just so impressed to be sitting here today watching Liquorland open at 10 a.m. We don't have that privilege in Alice Springs. We have to wait till 2. So, happy Christmas to you all. I don't think I'll be back. People are
Robin's
probably
the
breathing a
minute.
Sigh of relief that Robin Lamley's gone for the year. But
Robin's
happy
about
Christmas
to go make us
all.
A punch. Good on you, Rob. Thank you, Maddie Hepworth, our news director.
Thanks, Katie.
And Leah Finocchiaro, the member for Spillet and the deputy opposition leader. I had to think about that.
I know, you're looking at me very blankly at the moment.
Thank you very much for your time. It was a very fiery debate by all and always plenty of fun. Like I say, I like that passion. I think Territorians like to hear the passion from you all as well.
Thank you. And I just want to shout out, Palmerston Carols are on this Saturday. And I also want to extend my heartfelt understanding to all the parents, carers and grandparents who are taking their children to Frozen 2 this weekend. We will have to endure that together.
Good work. Well, you are listening to Mix 104.9's 360.